Amen. Thank you guys so much. Praise God. Praise God. And trust that our service so far has been a blessing to you, because we have indeed come together today to celebrate, indeed magnify that glorious resurrection of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. I think Easter Sunday, again, if you're anything like me, unfortunately, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday for many of us is kind of a reminder of how little we actually think about the resurrection. When in reality, as Christians, it's something that we really should be thinking about often. It's something that should give us hope each and every single day as believers. It really is the pinnacle. It is the foundation of our faith. And especially every single Sunday, for that matter, as we celebrate weekly the Lord's Day on that first day of the week. This was the day, Sunday was the day when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we celebrate that weekly. We celebrate it weekly as was his instructions, and find that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, where the Apostle John referred to Sunday as the Lord's Day. We read about that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, and in regard to the first day of the week, that Sunday being the day in which we commemorate Christ's finished work upon the cross. And so the Lord's Day weekly is that day in which we celebrate the fulfillment of our salvation, the fulfillment of that old covenant and that promise of the new. And all of that was done because of what we set aside specifically each and every single Easter, each and every single Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so every Sunday really should be treated like Easter Sunday. Every single Sunday, the Lord's Day, should be treated like something to celebrate. Those of you who follow me online, what do I usually post on Facebook early morning every single Sunday morning? What do I normally put? Happy Lord's Day, right? It's something to celebrate every single week, where we come together as believers to worship, to give glory and praise to our great Savior for what he did in that powerful act of rising from the dead. Because again, that event is so essential to the Christian faith, that it led to the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, as we read before, 1 Corinthians 15:17. He said this: "And if Christ has not been raised, if the resurrection did not happen, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." And so the Apostle Paul, he very, very clearly taught that apart from the reality of what took place all of those years ago, 2,000 years ago, what took place in that tomb, apart from all of that, that our faith is futile, that it's powerless, that it's false, apart from the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the futility of faith apart from the resurrection. That's the title of our sermon today, the futility of faith apart from the resurrection. Our faith as Christians is rooted and founded in what we have come together today to celebrate. What we came together early this morning at dawn over at the orchard to celebrate, and now we come together once again to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we think about Christ rising from the dead, we're continually reminded of that great cost that he bore for we as his children upon the cross. The resurrection, again, is proof that all of that pain and all of the anguish, all of the sorrow that Christ bore on that Friday, that Good Friday that we came together this past Friday to celebrate over at the Congregational Church, that all of that pain was worth it. Proves that every single bit of the wrath of God that was poured out upon Jesus Christ as he hung there on that tree, as he bled and died, as he was mocked and tortured on that cross, that every bit of all of that suffering and that wrath that he took was obliterated. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." And so because of Jesus, because of him, we find from this passage that we as his people, as his chosen people, have been blessed, according to verse 3, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
that the blessings of, that the ultimate blessings found in, are not in this world, but ultimately in heaven, in that future glory, in that paradise that we all look forward to because of what Jesus came and did when he rose from the dead. We whom the Father has loved so much, and yet really when you think about it, that love is so undeserved, that we whom have sinned against him, we who mocked him, we who would have, had we been there 2,000 years ago, we would have put him to death ourselves if we were in that crowd. We are now called, according to verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, holy and blameless before him. That the sinner, the ugly, sin-stained, totally depraved sinners that we are, that again, that if we had been there at that crucifixion, we would have just plunged the nails into his hands personally had we been there. That even though we are sinners, that we have, according to this text, been adopted by that same God, adopted into his family to the praise of his glorious grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, literal and glorious and powerful and indeed effective resurrection. Amen? Amen. This is the hope, folks. This is the hope that we have on this Resurrection Sunday. This is the hope that we have each and every day as Christians. The hope of the resurrection, the hope of forgiveness of our sins by the grace of God, through the atonement that was made upon the cross of Calvary, and indeed that future glory shown through the resurrection of our great Savior Jesus Christ. And so, this morning, because of this truth, we can now say with the Apostle Peter, as we read earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, indeed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the end times. Amen. And folks, this is the reason why. This is the reason why our faith is truly futile without the death of Jesus and indeed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead and he's just rotting in a tomb somewhere in the Middle East, all of this is all useless. Everything that we sang about, coming to church each and every single week, it's all useless if Jesus didn't rise from the dead completely. But no, brothers and sisters, he is risen. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is risen indeed. And that's the reason why we need days like this. This is the reason why we need Resurrection Sunday. We need Easter Sunday, special days of celebration like this, wherein we just set them aside in order to realize the gravity of what actually happened on that first Easter day, to focus specifically on it. We need to realize that this event, this is not something that we yawn at. This event is the culmination of redemptive history. It is the culmination of history itself. It's what the prophets preached about. It's what Moses talked about all of those years ago. It's the crescendo of every single Old Testament story, every single sacrifice that was made by the priests there in the Jewish system. You ever wonder, if you're reading through the Old Testament, why on earth did they have to sacrifice so many animals and all of those things that we read about, the horrific things? And the author of Hebrews, he says this, that those things were a shadow. That shadow which was cast every single time that high priest took that little lamb and slit its throat. Finally, it reveals itself in the form of our great high priest, the greater lamb, our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. On that day, our great high priest, he offered up the only sacrifice that was powerful enough and indeed effective enough to take away the sins of sinners like you and me for all time. That there is no need for a sacrificial system anymore, as if that could have saved us. But because of what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary, all of our sins are obliterated. And again, he wasn't just interceding on our behalf as priests, but amazingly, it's amazing, our priest was the sacrifice himself. He was the lamb who was slain. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3, it states this, "But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." And then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." And then just a couple verses down in that same glorious book of Hebrews. By the way, hint, hint for next week. Those of you who are wondering, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it goes on to say, it says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." And who is that? Who is he referring to there? He's referring to each and every single true Christian who by God's grace alone, through faith alone, put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. We are those who are being sanctified. We are those whom God has sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so the perfection of that sacrifice that was made by that great high priest all of those years ago was proven when the sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gloriously and triumphantly rose from the dead. Amen. When Jesus Christ stepped foot outside of that grave, think about this. Each and every single one of your sins, if you are in him today, has been forgotten. Forgotten. Far as the east is from the west. Again, the author of Hebrews. I love Hebrews. I can't wait. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. He defines this truth perfectly when he states this. The words of the Holy Spirit himself, one of those rare times we read of the Holy Spirit, states this. "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, 'This is the covenant that which I will make with them after those days, declare the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them down on their minds.'" And then he adds, get this, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Folks, this is the power of the resurrection. This is the power of the resurrection, that final and authoritative forgiveness of sins, a forgiveness of your sins that can't be earned, it can't be merited. If the sacrificial system of the Old Testament couldn't save anybody, what makes you think that your good works are going to be able to save you? No, that forgiveness needs to be given. It can't be earned. It can't be merited, somehow obtained. Again, it can only be shown through the sacrifice made through the love of God by sending Jesus Christ as Savior. And it brought about the miracle. Again, as I said before, the miracle of the God of the universe forgetting about your sin. Think about that for a moment. I know I brought it out in other sermons, but just think about that statement. Read again verse 17. This is God speaking. "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Think about that. The all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe, who knows all and sees all and plans all, in his sovereignty, he chooses not to remember your sins, all because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Isn't that amazingly powerful? Isn't that deep? That is good news, folks. That's gospel. If you're a sinner here today, if you're a sinner, which chief of sinners right here, okay? Every hand should go up. If you are a sinner here today, that is good news. It is gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what today is all about. And so my prayer today is that we would today, on Resurrection Sunday, that we would take in the scope and the gravity and of all of what that sacrifice upon the cross means and the power of the resurrection. That it wouldn't be just something that we yawn at. That it wouldn't just be one part of our theology. That it wouldn't just be one part of our religion, but that it would be everything. Everything. Pray that we would respond here today and go from this place with our hearts and our affections just deeply rooted in just gratitude and thanksgiving for our great Savior. Pray that on this Easter Sunday that our affections for Jesus Christ, that they would just shine through. That yes, you'd get a little emotional. That our love for him would be magnified. That it would just grow more and more and more as Paul said, as we understand the depths and of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God found in that great glorious sacrifice and indeed his resurrection 3 days later. Pray that we'd ponder it anew. Pray that we would celebrate this truth, not just on Easter Sunday, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but every single day, but especially on the Lord's Day. Each and every Sunday, it's a continual reminder as we come together and we glory in that great truth of our risen Savior. That each and every single day that we would desire to just proclaim that enormity to ourselves first and foremost, but also to others. There are folks out there today who are lost and hopeless. They're searching for meaning. They're searching for what this life is all about. And it is bound up in Jesus Christ. It's not in this life. It's in the next. It's in that eternal life that he came and he demonstrated when he rose from the dead. And that we would never, ever, ever downplay that truth. That the God of the universe came and paid the debt for sinners. That he paid for our sins personally on the cross. And that you as a believer, that you would understand the depths of what that means for you personally. That God loves you in particular. Think about that with me today. I know we talk about the love of God, but that God loves me. Say that. Say that in your mind. I mean, God loves me. And again, that phrase, that should never leave your lips without just a certain amount of trepidation. Shouldn't be something that you talk about the love of God like it's just nothing. No, it's something deep. It's meaningful. He sent his son for me in particular. Shouldn't ever leave our lips without a certain amount of emotion. One of my favorite preachers, Jonathan Edwards, from right here in Connecticut, used to call them affections. He said this. He said, "Will any say that the saints in heaven, in beholding the face of their Father and the glory of their Redeemer, and contemplating his wonderful works, and particularly his laying down his life for them, have their heart nothing moved and affected by all which they behold or consider?" In other words, putting that in modern English today, should not our emotions, our affections as believers, not be rocked to the core when you consider the price paid for you on Calvary, when you consider what it took to save you, and the power that it took for him to come back? I mean, shouldn't just bring you just joy deep down in your heart, that loving kindness that was shown to you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I think oftentimes we don't allow ourselves really the privilege. Again, this is why days like this are so very, very important. They're so important for us to set aside and focus on specifically, because we don't allow ourselves to just soak in the magnitude of what these truths mean. You know, oftentimes we try to mask our emotions. We're especially true of that in New England for fear of looking weak or whatever. When the fact is, folks, is that we are weak. We are helpless. We could not save ourselves, and that's why God sent Jesus Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and yet Christ died for us and made us alive. He loved us. He chose us before the foundations of the world. He paid for us. He redeemed us. And eventually, he will indeed glorify us in heaven someday. And therefore, we, as believers, we should live, beginning in our hearts, but also in our actions, in light of those glorious truths, of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means, and live like it each and every single day. Apostle Paul, he said it best when he wrote this in Romans 8, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or a sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Amen. Through the death and resurrection of our great Savior, you know in your heart, if you have faith in him today, that you are loved in particular. that you have a permanence and a finality to your salvation because of that sacrifice and because of that love that was shown for you can never, ever, ever be separated. And so that truth today of the resurrection needs to stir something up inside of you today, if you're truly in him. It needs to stir up something inside of you in your heart of hearts whenever you're reminded of this truth. Because for the true Christian, there is nothing more powerful. There is nothing more delightful. There is nothing greater to our soul than to think about the love of God and the proof of that through the resurrection. There's nothing greater. And that because of that, that not death or life or angels or rulers or height or depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, on this Resurrection Sunday, my prayer is that we would not allow these truths that we have looked at today, that we've sung about today, that we've heard about today, that we would not allow these truths to just enter our ears without allowing them to affect us, to affect your heart, to affect your soul. Allow the truth of the resurrection to refresh you today, believer. Allow the reminders of all of the things that we've talked about today to remind you of your place in Christ, that you are one of his children, that your sins have been obliterated, that they are forgotten about, and that you are loved of God. And if you're not in him today, if you don't know him, if you don't have this hope of salvation, I would implore you today, as a preacher of God's word, as just a fellow sinner, come to Jesus today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart this morning, if you're here, if you're online, wherever, give yourself to him. Put your faith in him, even right where you're at, even in your pew today. Pray to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Trust in him only. Trust in that sacrifice only. And be saved today. And if you do that, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me afterwards. But maybe today you're here today and you're a little backslidden. Maybe you come out to Easter service today and it's been a while since you've been in church. Maybe you haven't been living for the Lord in a while. I'm going to tell you this, is that there's still forgiveness at the cross. There's still forgiveness at the cross for you, brother or sister. And I would say this, to give yourself over to honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, may this Easter Sunday be not just another Easter where it comes and goes and then I come back next year. No, may it be a change in your life. Our Father in heaven, he's like that. It's like the story of the prodigal son. He's always standing there in the door waiting for the prodigal to come home. And so if you are a prodigal, come back to your Father. He will accept you with open arms. He will forgive every single one of your sins. And he will love on you for all eternity. And so I pray this. I pray that the truths of the gospel today and what this Resurrection Sunday represents, that they would indeed enter the depths of each of our souls today, into our hearts, into our minds today. And I pray that the Spirit of our great God, who drew us to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that he would refresh and renew us as we continue to bring glory to our great and glorious and indeed risen Jesus Christ today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray as the worship team comes. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the truth of the resurrection. Oh Lord, today we confess to you, Lord, as I said before, that God, we often don't think as much and ponder as much upon the resurrection as we ought. But Lord, I pray that that would change today. I pray, God, that as we've looked at very briefly the truths of your rising from the dead and the cost that was paid upon Calvary 3 days before, God, that it would stir up our souls today. For my brothers and sisters, God, that we would be reminded once again and that we would live in light of that affection, live in light of that emotion, live in light of that forgiveness of sins that has been granted to us. For those who might not be living for you today, Lord, I pray that you'd call them back. I pray, God, that they would come to you, that they would accept the forgiveness of you as the Heavenly Father. And get those things right. And indeed, for those, Lord, who don't know you as Savior, that you draw them to yourself, that they would know the forgiveness of Jesus, that they'd see the power of that sacrifice upon the cross and the even greater power of the resurrection from the dead, that they would be gloriously and powerfully saved today. Your word says that all who believe in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, may that be true of someone today, Lord, I pray. But, Lord, again, we give you glory as our great risen King. And we thank you and praise you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.